Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Jenna Herman. Jenna is living proof that you can create a life of calm within chaos and overwhelm. She uses her bachelor's degree in psychology, master's degree in organizational management, and over 15 years of human resources experience to build strong teams both at work and at home. Jenna is the co-founder and COO of Be Courageous, a transformation agency, a busy mom of four, a coach, and an award-winning book or author of her new book that has come out, which is Chaos to Calm. So this has been an award-winning book, and we are super excited to have an incredible conversation. So welcome, Jenna.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, I know we were kind of hitting the deep dive before we hit record, and I was like, well, hold on, we gotta reel this back and start over. Because we were just having like a mini flow before hitting record, and it was just too good to pass this up. But today's conversation is really going to be centered around what her book is, From Chaos to Calm, what that entails, how we as women, it's just like we feel like we have to carry it all, be it all, do it all, and somehow be like a stepford wife and have it all put together with a big perfect smile on our face like, yay, this is realistic, right? So we all know that that's not true. And today we're going to talk about, you know, what it's like to really live in a place of where it feels like chaotic all the time. But with Jenna, she's going to share some of her tips and strategies on how we can start eliminating those pressures to perform, the chaos that's inside our narrative, into our mind, inside ourselves, right? We have to clean house internally and externally so that we can really step fully into the experience of what is calm living. So Jenna, I'd love for you to kind of reel us back a little bit. You know, when we talk about, obviously I'm an author to an author here. For every story, there is a backstory. So I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners and a little bit of how you got into the works that you do today.
Sure. So my hero's journey, so to speak, right? The backstory of this book is I was about 10 years ago when my husband and I got married, moved from Southern California to Northern California with three children in tow, his kids from prior marriage, who are my children in love. Shortly after that, we had a baby together. And shortly after that, we started a business together as well. So it was in that moment that I had what I could only call identity whiplash, having gone from being incredibly single with so few responsibilities, just me and my cat and my business. I had a preschool at the time, to shifting literally everything except for the cat. Cat came along. Becoming a wife and a mother overnight, moving away from everybody that I knew and loved, my built-in community, to now having also physically transitioned to making a person and starting this business. It was so much, and it was too much. It was way too much, because although the intentionality was there of I'm going to get married and we're going to have this family and we're going to move and all these things, I forgot to bring me along with it all. And I was doing the things, but I wasn't inside of myself making sure that I was nurtured and cared for through this process. So what resulted from that was a very unhappy soul and nervous system with perpetual panic attacks and anxiety attacks on the regular, especially when my husband was traveling for our work and I'm, you know, breastfeeding a child, feeling very tethered with the whooshing of the breast pump and littles needing to come home and need homework help and snacks. And I have to think about dinner and making sure that everyone gets bathed and brush their teeth and goes to bed. And then I finally fall asleep. And then I wake up with a baby and then wake up the next day and everything starts all over again. It was chaos. It was utter chaos, internal, external. I saw no light. I just saw the swirl of everything. And there was one day that I woke up and said, you know what? I don't want to do it like this anymore. I don't want to barely survive this existence that I'm in. I want to enjoy it. I want to thrive in it. And I know that it's possible. I know it's so possible. I just haven't figured it out yet. Or I also have tools like you said, with the master's degree and the psychology degree and having had so many years in HR and operations, I could bring the things that I know from that world into this world. And that's what I started to do. I started to bring in operational efficiencies and team dynamics and all these things that I've practiced and understanding how habits are created and you know, behavioral psychology and managing teams, bringing all of that into my home and into myself to create a more sustainable infrastructure that was nurturing for me and my family. Because in the chaos mode, I was a crappy mom. I was a crappy partner, and I definitely wasn't there as a great colleague to anybody. So being able to create this infrastructure where the home ran more smoothly, I was finally taking care of me with intentionality, that I could get my feet back on the ground. And that's when I discovered, the putting in air quotes here, the concept of calm.
And so what is calm to you today? Because I've got so many questions, but I would love for, like, you just shared the chaos. You're sitting here in this moment and you could feel the calm. There's a sense of peace and stillness within you. That's where you are today, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, even when the shit hits the fan, which it inevitably does, I have a practice, right, that I've been doing for so many years now, that when that shit hits the fan, I don't get so much of the shrapnel on me, right? Like, it's going to happen. It's there. But I don't have to be affected by it, right? The chaos is still swirling. I still have 4 kids. They're still under my roof. My husband still travels for work and is gone all the time. He was just in Kuwait, like, other side of the world, legitimately, right? But the chaos that is going around doesn't penetrate me the way that it used to, because I'm taking care of me, right? I have my self-care in check. I have habits that support me. I have a community around me that I've built and nurtured that support me and support my family. I've put my communication in check. I've gotten really, really clear about how to communicate with those around me and to build rapport and nurture my relationships so that I am heard, I am understood, and that others in my world also feel heard and understood, which all support the calm as well, right? And I would say, addition to that, like, what is my definition of calm, right? It's not about the being slow, being zen, and everything is quiet, but rather it's actually about flow. Right. When you know that you're safe and comfortable, right, that you're not worried about, you know, the huge life stressors that we take, and sometimes we look at them, we're like, oh my God, a lion, you know, but it's not a lion. It's a deadline. Or our kid just, you know, didn't follow through on what they said they were going to do, or something happens with our partner, whatever it is. Right. When we recognize that we're actually safe and we see that, it's like, I'm okay. Everything around me is okay. This is all temporary. I can handle it. I haven't not handled anything that's come my way so far. So being able to find the flow to actually have energy, right? It's a good positive energy. And for me, that's actually, maybe to others, it's a little manic, a little hyper. I get really hyper sometimes. But that's me in my calm. That's me feeling safe. That's me in my flow, being creative, having a good time. Being able to take any problem that comes my way and sit with it from a very grounded place and say, ha, I got this. I can figure that out.
Yes. What I'm sensing is, it's just, you really come to a place where, instead of what we could feel when our world is being chaos, again, it's what Jen's saying, it's not so much about your external circumstances and situations. It's really about the internal, how we perceive that. And I think for me, I mean, what's coming up for me is, like, I found myself in a state, I mean, several years ago, when I was just like, I hit my breaking point, and I was so quick. I was so snappy. I was very reactive. And there was a quote, you know, are you reactive or are you responding in a timely fashion that makes you feel like there was a presence of pause so that you had a moment to really think about it? And when I remember hearing that, I was like, react or respond? Yeah, that's a great question. So now I'm going to ask myself those questions when I feel like my internal is just going berserk, right? So I love that, you know, you're really sharing these are everyday real life stories, moments of like everyone can relate to that. And like, how are we trying to do it all? And we have this narrative or this quote unquote cape that we wear as superwoman that we can manage and do it all. And if we're not doing it all and taking some Instagram worthy shots, then nobody sees it and it hadn't happened. So it doesn't exist. You know, it's, I think for me personally, I'm over that type, like that narrative, that script that we have to document everything in the waking moment of when things are so good. And it's like, no, when things are so good is when you should be in the present moment, just relishing in that. And that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, you know, you didn't see me snapping the photos of all the chaos going up, right? So why would we do it only when things are calm? I don't know. I'd love to hear your take on that, because obviously we talked briefly before I hit record about what it's like, you know, for authors to share, you know, online our lives, right? Because it's when we write books that are from the heart and it's so real and raw, how do we share in a way that still encapsulates that we're human and we struggle? I mean, just because we put out some quote unquote solution doesn't mean that we don't have any problems ever again.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that that's such an interesting call out that you say that, Rachel, because that happens to literally everyone, right? There's no one that doesn't have some sort of chaos or conflict in their world. And often I think some of the best content that people put up come from the learnings that they have from the conflict, from the chaos. Like, they've gone through it. They're seeing the other side and they're like, oh yeah, that's good stuff. I'm going to share that. Like, that's often so much of what we see is the aftermath, but not the hurricane that was happening during. And some people do that. Some people, I think, are very aware and conscious to post their chaos. Honestly, I just try to do as little as possible on social, because it curation or not, I don't know. It's just not my jam. It's so hard as a creator, of someone who has created something or loves to create, to then try to put this up in these portals, right? Into a portal where bazillions of people are, and say, come, look at the thing I created. I created it for you. I hope that you get value and that you enjoy it and that you love it as much as I loved making it for you. And that's where my current, I don't want to say conflict is, but maybe it is conflict. It's not chaos, that's for sure. But conflict of, do I continue creating those things from the heart and saying, here, look what I made for you. It's like I keep making gifts. Right. I'm like, I'm making all these things and I'm like, I'm giving you a gift and you a gift and I want to give everybody the gifts. But everyone's like, huh? Yeah. What? I don't know. So my question is, do I keep making the gift?
Yes. I'm going to answer that with a yes. And I'll tell you why. I'm literally in the season and I can relate to so much of what you said, because as a creator, when we're in a place where it's constant flow, which is exactly what you're talking about in your book, the constant flow allows you to be plugged into your source, whatever that source is. For me, it's God. When, you know, you have that plugged into source, there's never a dry spout of inspiration, creativity, love, abundance, joy, all that stuff that we're craving, right? But it's the moment that we unplug because we think we have to go plug into what the world is telling us, that's where I found myself so unplugged and burned out. There was not a lick of creativity inside of me. And it was so hard to create from a place of creativity when the well had completely run dry. And found myself just in the season of just like internally retreated. Like, I just didn't even want to be out there in the quote unquote interwebs of social media. I didn't even have content that I could write about, because I was just so internally focused on, I have to produce, but I don't know what I'm producing. So therefore starts like, you know, the self-combative narrative that I think we all experience. And I felt like on myself just kind of distancing from social media as a creator and even as a consumer as well. And I would just feel myself like I dried up just as much as creativity did. So again, we can't create from a place that there is no inspiration of creativity. There's no spark plug. There's nothing there. So I think just from what I'm sharing here, and this is literally, I'm talking through this in the moment, so it's weird. But the moment I started plugging back into my source was the moment that everything else kind of dissipated and I started to begin to see things again. The creativity, inspiration, all that started to come. And I was like, oh my gosh, there were so many lessons learned from when I had to take that step back and work on myself to repeat some of the lessons that I had just shared in my book as healing and growing, because we're always evolving. This is part of the evolution and the transformation that we as humans get to experience. But sometimes it feels like we still have to talk about from the place of when we wrote the content, when we wrote the book, when we were in that season. And I think for me, there was such a stronghold. There was something holding me back there where I felt like, but if I keep talking about this past of who I was to share the lessons in the book that was about my life 10 years ago, then how am I able to create anything in the current moment here today now? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
You had a content.
You've evolved. You have evolved over the past 10 years since your book has come out. But when people want to talk to you about the book, it's kind of ignoring all this decade of evolution that you've had. And then you're right back to where you were, which is not who you are anymore. Right? It's not who you are today. And you know what's so interesting? I intellectually and soulfully so understand that. And my position is actually, funny enough, like I've been, as the evolution has been happening, I've been creating in alignment with that evolution. And I mean, the well is, it is running. Let me tell you, there's so much coming out. But I'm like, is this the right tap for the well to come from? Is this the right faucet? Right? And I'm like, I think I might need to close that faucet and open up a different one and have the well, because it's coming. There's so much. I can't stop. I literally cannot stop. I'm writing constantly because I love it. And it's just, that's my outlet. And that's my processing. That's how I process, is through writing and words. And I love that my clients love that so much, because I give them so much to ponder and think about. And I love taking our conversations and, you know, theming and dissecting them and all of that, which is a joy, such a joy to do. But I'm like, this faucet over here where the well is coming out strong, it's not watering anything. There are no plants there, right? That's what it feels like. I'm like, I'm pouring out all this well, this beautiful mineral rich water that's so nourishing, but there are no plants to water. So I'm like, where? Let me go find the garden that I can water, right? Or some new seeds. Let me find some seeds that I can nourish. And that's where I'm being drawn to, is finding those seeds, finding that garden, and not doing it the way that I have been, because that hasn't been fruitful for, not necessarily not for me, but more like the impact isn't there.
Exactly. I relate to everything that you're talking about, because it's like, you know, I think we have to go through some of our own dry seasons to recognize that, because I'm in a season right now where it's like, I can't stop and I'm still sitting on a mountain of content that I feel like I can't ever break through. There's so much of it and it just keeps pouring out. But I think at this point where when I cut that cord and just said, you know what, Rachel, you're not that version of her anymore. Allow yourself permission to be the version you are today. Talk about the stories and the lessons that you're going through in this season of your life that, you know, I'm finding myself as, like, you know, quote unquote, redefining success. Because I did a little mini series called Redefining Success, because I want to talk about things that are meaningful in a season that I'm in right now. Because again, we talk about like success for a moment, and I'm going to bring this back full circle here. It's like, success is so subjective. It's like the art, right? It's in beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So how we define success is so subjective to who we are, right? What is success to you? It can be something completely different as it is to me. But I had this notion that success was to check all those boxes and hit the awards and accolades and the achievements and all the things, right? And then when you get to the top, you're just like, holy shit, this is it? This sucks. Like, this sucks. And you're so alone. You're so alone at this top of this mountain that you chased your way up there to find out that this is so empty and so lonely and so vapid. And that's what the world says is successful. And so when I just had this, like, everything in me just sunk. I was just like, I don't want to be at this. I don't want to be here anymore. So I started taking this deep dive into what is success for me. And I think the biggest piece that was missing was meaning and fulfillment. There was no fulfillment. It was all about getting there as quickly as I possibly can because I had so much that I wanted still to accomplish and achieve in my life. And I think that we were touching upon this at the beginning of there's so much we want to do. Should we push pause on that so we can really just bask in the present of now? And that's the season I'm in. I just had a conversation briefly with a girlfriend the other day, and she said, oh, I didn't realize that you do coaching and consulting for other brands and businesses. I said, yes, because I finally had to put a pin in all of mine. And I kept saying, Rachel, you're not creating anymore. Stop creating, stop creating. Because I know that that chase to create more will also burn you out. Because to your point, Jenna, you're making all these gifts, but the people don't even know, one, that you have the gifts. Two, they don't necessarily want your gifts. Or three, they don't know how to use the gifts because they haven't really experienced you yet. And I was just like, damn. All right. So there it is.
There it is.
Why?
And I mean, and our plates are so full already, right? Like, you can't add anything else to it. Life is so full. So the idea of, you know, what if I just turned on all the taps? Right? Could turn the one that's already on, turn on another one. Let's turn another one and see, and just throw, you know, everything at the wall and see what sticks. Like, that is not a luxury that I know I have and all of my clients, right? No one, I don't know anybody who has that luxury besides my teenage daughters, right? The whole world is their oyster, but true, or my seven-year-old. I mean, truly, he can throw anything at the wall, but I digress. I'm speaking metaphorically, all of our walls are intact, I swear. But like, I don't have the capacity to leave my current tap on to see, oh, maybe something will sprout there, right? And turn on this other tap. I'm like, oh yeah, I know for sure there's some seeds here, but I don't know if maybe there's some seeds over there and over there and over there. And let me turn on the taps in all these places. Cause that, I mean, honestly, when my book came out or right before it came out and I'm doing book talks and workshops and speaking engagements and podcasts up the wazoo and all of these things while also managing my day job with Be Courageous and managing my coaching clients and my family, it was all too much. It was much too much. Thankfully, I knew this is a season, right? There is an end time to launching a book, which, you know, I'm so glad that season is over because it was exhausting. And I crave simplicity. I crave what's the one thing, right? Because there's so many, there are those big rocks that are on my plate that fill up majority of the plate. My family, my job, right? All of those things, my clients, these are all very important things to me, and myself included, me taking care of the being that I am. And then there's these other spaces in between, a little more space. And I've been filling that with the tap that's been going, not watering anything. And because that really where I want to keep like that precious little space in between on that or on something else and letting that go, which is, you know, the art of letting go is profound truly in this human existence that we're in, of saying I have invested so much of myself, of my effort, my energy, my time, my money, whatever it is, into something. And then the potential heartbreak, right, of letting something go and saying that's not serving anymore, or it's not serving the way that it used to, right? People who shut the doors on their store, their physical, tangible stores, because it's like it doesn't make sense to keep this open anymore, right? The ROI in the big scheme of things, and not just the money, but the effort, the energy, the heart of it all, am I still getting that return, right? But I've put so much, I've given it so much, and I put so much into it, I can't let it go. But it's like, But is that actually, if you did let that go, would it make space for something new, mm-hmm. right? That would have a much stronger ROI now and going forward.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that crossroads is such a fascinating one.
I love that you brought up the art of letting go. Because it's funny, I just wrote a post about this not too long ago, but it's so true, because in order for us to let go, we have to lose something in order to gain something, right? Because we can't carry more, and we can't take everything on and do everything well and sustain that. And I think that that's what we're trying to do, is that what we want to take on, we want to know that we're giving it our all, that we have the capacity, that we have the strength, that we have the fortitude and courage to show up every day and consistently do the thing that we agreed to. But we can't do that if we're also living, you know, in the past, straddling one foot into, well, what was, and straddling the what could be, because both of them still bring about anxiety. Both of them bring about uncertainty and fear, right? Because there's the past experience where you already know is learned, but then the uncertainty of what could be on this other side. And I think from one creator to another, this is something that I've really exhibited, I think, into my own personal space, is I had to let go of creating for others, creating for what was. And I think this brings back to the former version of myself. And you hear this a lot, especially into like marketing and with business, that you're always serving for your customers and your clients, right? That's the audience. But as a creator and say a solopreneur or solo in your own space, if you keep creating content that doesn't fuel and inspire the creator, you, then that's not the quality of the potentiality of what you can create and deliver. Does that kind of make sense? So one of the things that I've been doing now is saying, I've been creating content for the past version of Rachel. I need to create content for me here and now. And that was the permission slip I think I gave myself that really set myself like, okay, it's time to go. It's time to create. Set yourself free. Let go of what was so that you can start gaining more of what is. And I don't know what's on the other side of gaining what more is, but what I can tell you, what I've experienced in this short amount of time, is more creativity, inspiration, freedom, peace, joy, love, stillness, all the stuff that you talk about in your book. And so those that are listening, ask yourself, what are you holding on to? Is there a piece of you that is still trying to keep the lights on and the doors open to your business, but there's no one home, no one home in the inspiration department? There's no one there, right? So maybe it's just not necessarily locking the doors forever, but maybe it's pause. Maybe it's just a temporary space that you give yourself to teeter between what was and what could be. And you can go venture, you know, see if the grass really is greener over there. But again, it's greener wherever you water it, right? But sometimes the curiosity and the wonderment is just the watering that you need to say yes to that seed.
Ugh, yes. So much yes. So much yes. And the end, I mean, as you and I were talking about before we pressed, you know, record, was this concept of pause, right? And really that concept of pause of in the space of contemplation, of crossroads, of burnout, you know, of conflict, whatever it is, that it doesn't feel like it's in flow, right? That one, making rash decisions is definitely not the calm approach. When it's like, I am overwhelmed, I'm burnt out, let me make a huge decision. And it's like, no, that is not the time to make a huge decision. Because when dysregulated, when not in calm, we're just trying to get safe, right? Like I was saying before with, you know, big things that are big stressors, it looks like a lion's licking at us, like licking its lips. We think, you know, oh my gosh, my life's in danger. At least that's what the reptilian brain is saying, right? That part of us that is still very primitive going, ah, thing that wants to kill me. Like, no, it's not actually. But when in that space, when we're in that overwhelm, we're in that burnout, when we're in that place of like, oh, I can't, I don't want to, it's too much, or I'm just tired, that's the time to really take the pause and not make a reaction, not react, right? But to be responsive. And it takes reflection. It takes pause to calm the nervous system, right? To get calibrated. And to get grounded, say, ah, okay, let me take some space and really think about this and then make a informed, heartfelt, you know, mind and heart forward decision from that's a response to what's going on versus a knee-jerk reaction. Because those reactions come from a place of not feeling safe. And we tend to make not the best choices when we don't feel safe, right? We're just right. Like, get me out of here. Let me get out of the uncomfortable situation. Not long-term, let me think about this and how this has a bigger effect on things versus this short-term, get me out of the uncomfortable situation.
Right. And so what tips would you share with our listeners that could really help them take that overwhelmingness of chaos to calm? What are some of your go-to strategies that you would love to share with our listeners?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. I have so many strategies. One is, again, don't make knee-jerk reactions. Notice there's a lot of self-awareness in this practice of recognizing in the self, where am I at right now? And the more that you practice checking in and noticing, the easier it gets to notice, right? It's like, oh, there's a pattern. I know for myself, when I get dysregulated, right? And I get that stress response. And when I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed and everything, you know, everything heightens. My face gets hot. I feel tears well up behind my eyes. I feel like my blood is like electrified. And it took a while for me to recognize after it happened a few times. I'm like, oh, that's my stress response. That's my body saying, you're in danger, right? But my mind thinking, ah, get me out of this. But once I recognized and had that awareness, oh, that's just a response. That's my body's reaction to the interpretation of my environment. Then with that self-awareness, the tools come in to help calm the nervous system down so that then we can be more responsive. And that includes going outside, right? Just changing your environment, physically getting up and moving to a new space. That could also be just having some moments of quiet, right? Closing the eyes, putting on a timer, and just being for a couple of minutes. That could look like exercising. That could be going out and going for a run or doing some jumping jacks or dancing, right? Putting on a song and just dancing it out. And there are so many different tools. And I actually have a downloadable on my website that's called 2 Minutes to Calm that has more than a dozen tools of things that you can do that help support the nervous system to calm it down in those moments, right? But there's myriad and everyone takes to different ones differently. So I always recommend try different ones out, try them all and see which ones resonate more than others and have those become your go-to. And to add on to that, if I may, that is kind of reactive calm versus proactive calm. And proactive calm are the things that we do even when we're not in stress, when our body isn't having that response. And that's, again, that's the self-care. That's having efficiency in systems in our lives, right? Whether it be how we do laundry or meal planning, you know, feeding ourselves and our families, or task management of how we do, you know, there's efficiencies that we can have in place that help create space for us to do not just what we have to do, but what we want to do, right? And communication skills, right? All the things I was talking about earlier, those were all kind of proactive calm. Because when we have that infrastructure in place, like we said in the beginning, when the shit hits the fan, when it inevitably does, it's not so overwhelming. It hits us less, right? And maybe not at all. Maybe it's like, oh, I see the chaos world building. Cool. I know. I'm good. It doesn't penetrate me at all, actually, right? Which takes a lot of practice and is something that can, like, anyone can get there with practice. But in the meantime, the usual, right, the normal, typical of what happens is that it becomes a lot easier to manage than before.
Yes. So many good tips right there. So make sure you like rewind and jot those down, because it's just all the things that we get to do before. And I love that you brought up the reactive and proactive. So how we can get ahead of it. Sometimes, you know, like life is our greatest teacher. It will always show us something. But if we're just so busy blindly going through life that we miss the lessons that it's trying to teach us, we're just going to find ourselves in these habitual patterns and not be aware of what is going on. Like, why is it every time I turn the light switch or the fan switch on, shit is hitting the fan? Well, okay, take a step back. What are you doing before you even got into that room? Like, what are these, like, you got to ask yourself some hard questions at some point, or just a simple question like, pause. What happened? How did this happen again? And when you find yourself in those same situations, you start recognizing patterns. So one of the things that also for me has been a huge proponent into managing stress and feeling that emotional safety, right? So when we talk about safety, it's that emotional safety that you feel regulated internally, that it's safe in your inner house, not just your external into your outer house. So I know that some people can like clean and make sure that their rooms are empty and void and feel good, but yet there's still this internal angst, this chaos inside them. I know for me, writing is a big, big part of my life. I have journals upon journals upon journals. And if I'm out on a long walk and I don't have my journal, there's voice memos, there's text to speak to text into your apps. And then sometimes I'll send myself emails, like Rachel, and a little FYIs. But to verbally express it in some capacity, to write it or orate it, has been a huge changer in a lot of things that I do. Would you say that has been helpful for you too as a writer, obviously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you should see, you were saying like, you know, the voice notes, the emails, the message. Like, I mean, there are so many words in so many different places. Right.
Yeah.
And I had to get better about like, where am I going to put all my words? Because having them in 8 different places is not serving my calm.
No, no. Oh, my gosh. It's like, I know I wrote that down. Where was it? Was it in my voice memo? Was it in my notebook? Is it in my email? Like, yeah. So then you find like yourself just figuring out where it is. But yeah, how do you organize that?
Yeah. So now I actually do mostly voice notes. Mostly. And then I'll copy and paste the text right into a Google Doc. And then when I'm ready to just write, I'll do it all in the Google Doc. So that's where I try to keep all of it, or things that I know that I want to look at later, right? I've got like a headline of the idea of that I want to go deeper on, and I'll email it to myself. And then I go into the Google Doc and go further there. Absolutely. Because they were everywhere. They were all over. And so it's a lot more organized now and a lot easier to find what I'm saying. You know?
Oh my goodness. So many great just tips and strategies that you've shared here. And, you know, as we wrap up today's episode, I'd love for you just to share there's anything that we haven't talked about that you're like, oh my gosh, this was definitely, I want to leave your listeners with this. Do tell. And then in addition, how can people find out more about you, learn along with you, and of course, get a copy of your book?
Thank you. I would say, I think there's 2 things I'd like to leave the listeners with for all of you listening right now. One is, this is all temporary, right? Every moment that we find ourselves in is now gone, and now there's a new one. And so these days and the way that we're feeling and what's going on internally, externally, like it's all shifting constantly. And some days are the weather, right? For us, if we look at our own internal space or our internal climate, like external climate, some days are sunny, not a cloud in the sky, 72 and sunny. And some days are stormy as fuck, right? And it's all not just okay. It's all a part of the human existence and our experience. But the noticing and saying, today I'm having a really stormy day doesn't make you, a stormy person. And two, when you notice it, you get the opportunity to nurture yourself in that stormy state and to remember when you're in the 72 and sunny, oh yeah, I've been in this storm. I know how to navigate the storm. Should it come again, I know it goes away, right? It's not permanent. This is all temporary. All of it, storms and the 72 and sunnies. I'd say that's number one. And then the number two is that things take the time they take, right? We can't force ripening of fruit on the vine, right? Or on the tree. An apple grows on a tree. We can't force it to get ripe, to be ready to eat. And we have to allow for it to take the time that it takes. And that's the same for ourselves. I know way too many humans, they set a goal, they have this huge ambition, and they just want to be there already. Now. It's like, it doesn't work that way. If you try to pull that apple before it's ripe, it's going to taste pretty nasty. It's not going to be as good as if you allow for nature to take its course and to do things. And again, it's with intentionality, of course. It's not always a set it and forget it, you know, and just like come back and study. But to recognize that things take time and to not be so hard on ourselves when they don't move at the pace in which we'd like for it to.
So good. So good. Because I think, you know, we can all relate to that. We're in such a haste to get there. And it's this race. Everything is this hustle and chase. And we've got to be there. But I don't know if this just comes with age, because I feel like as the older I get, the slower I get. And it's I'm enjoying the season that I'm in. It's a slower pace, but it's a pace that I can actually enjoy. And I think that that's really what we're after, is that enjoyment, right? We want to enjoy this journey. But if we keep forcing things, and as Jenna said, you know, it's not going to turn out the way they expected or had hoped for, or work so hard to achieve, right? So you got to let nature take its course, and in divine time, it'll all be perfect when it's ready. So give yourself a lot of grace, a lot of gratitude, and a lot of just love and kindness to yourself. We need more of that. So thank you, Jenna. And of course, how can people find you and buy a copy of your book?
Yeah. So JennaHermans.com is my website, just my personal website. I also have my Be Courageous website, which is bcrgs.com. It's Be Courageous without any vowels, just consonants. And the book can be found anywhere books are sold. It's if you enjoy supporting your local bookstore and they don't have it currently on stock, they can get it for you. Can get it tomorrow via Amazon. You can get it from Barnes & Noble and Target, or you can get it through my website as well. And I'll write you a little note inside if you get it from there too. But anywhere your heart desires, it is available to you.
Well, awesome. So of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to give Jenna a bow. And if this episode resonates, shoot her a message. As a creator to creator, this is why we create, to connect, to know that our work has meaning and impact. So this is truly my heart to yours. So thank you, Jenna.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.